This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hope your eating day is off to a good start, because that's what this day is all about. It is all about eating. Happy Thanksgiving to one and all. Along with Bruce Levine, I'm Mark Grody. Here with you until 11 o'clock this morning on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Then we will have the NFL games. And we are open. We are open for you at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number, and it is the text number as well. 312-644-6767. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We still have a lot to do in the next 2 hours, including the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky. He will be on with us in an hour and a half from right now. Chuck Swirsky joins us to talk about the Chicago Bulls at 10:30 this morning. Right now, though, Bears. Let's talk to Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. He covers the Bears every day of his life. And Potsy joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Potsy, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Mark. How you doing?
I am doing well. So, what do you think? Are we going to find out who the Bears' starting quarterback is today? And is it Mitch or is it Foles? We want the answer right now, Potsy.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to find out today. I think we'll find out eventually before the game. I'd say probably by tomorrow. I think just logically it should be Mitch. I mean, just judging by what we heard yesterday, that Nick Foles is not healthy enough to practice and that Mitch Trubisky is theoretically or supposedly, allegedly, making all this great progress since he was benched. I mean, it just makes sense that this would be the right time to go to Mitch. Not sure why games like this are still being played by Matt Nagy, but, you know, that's the way he kind of chooses to do it. He kind of goes in between. He kind of feigns like he's going to do the gamesmanship thing, and then at the end of the week he says, oh, yeah, our starter is X. So I think we will find out. I think it will be Mitch. It just sounds like that seems like the logical thing to do. And if he's healthy and if he's practicing, I assume he is. So I just think that's where they're going. But, you know, if I sound kind of dour, it's because I just don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. I mean, I do agree that Trubisky gives them the better chance to win just because their offensive line just can't protect Foles like he needs to be. And so he gives them a better chance to win. Or the best chance, but really, with the state of their offense coming off that last game, it's just not looking good right now.
Looking at the offensive line and Montgomery hopefully coming back, knowing that Green Bay's defense is weak against the run, is this essential that you get a good performance from Montgomery and the running backs to be able to let the defense have a little blow from time to time and be able to dominate like they do when they are rested?
Yeah, absolutely, Bruce. But, I mean, that's kind of been the theme all year. That's been the charge all year ever since they had those first three games where they, like, averaged 138 rushing yards a game and they just totally hit the wall, you know, not only against good defenses but actually against more porous ones. So, and with the offensive line having issues, I mean, that's, you know, they have to do that no matter who they're playing, especially in this game, obviously. I mean, you know, keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field is obviously a smart tack. But it just remains to be seen if they can do it. You know, David Montgomery's a good running back, but it almost, with their line play, it almost has not mattered who's been back there. So I think that will give them a boost. But, boy, if you can tell me just how good their offensive line will be, you know, then I'll start placing my bets. But right now all bets are off because, you know, with the state of that line, we just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, man. Like, I was talking about this last night and with Bruce a little bit earlier this morning, Mark, is that it seems like there's been so many times this year where I have looked at the team that the Bears are playing against, and I have said, oh, wow, they give up a lot. They give up over 100 yards rushing, so this could be the week for the Bears. And then I look at the Packers, and they give up about 114 rushing yards per game, and, hey, David Montgomery's back. I want that to matter, but it just hasn't mattered. And it's not just this year. This is just the chronic problem under Matt Nagy since 2018, the one that none of us has been able to figure out unless you have. I don't know, Potsy, do you have the magic answer?
No. And the problem is that the offensive line has kind of gotten worse, you know, this season. You know, they thought they had something a couple of years ago, and then they kind of muddled around last year, and now they couldn't make a lot of moves, and now they're kind of stuck where they almost like have to rebuild this line, certainly at two or three positions, and that's why there's, you know, I mean, you know, offensive line is the key to the whole thing. If you can establish a running game, then you can actually run this offense. But if they can't do that, how are they going to get any better? And they just seems like they're, the harder they try, the worse they get. I mean, it's a tough situation for the Bears, because that's, you know, offensive line is not something where you can just plug one guy in and make a big difference, you know, unless it was like Quentin Nelson or somebody like that. Maybe even that wouldn't help. But the point is, offensive line is really, that's a tough spot to be in, because it's a team within a team. They depend on, you know, unspoken communication, kind of chemistry and everything, and that's just hard to, you know, just flip the switch and make happen, like adding a receiver or changing quarterbacks even. It's just, that's why, I mean, they're in just a really tough pickle here offensively. And I'll say this, the Packers have their defense looks like they're vulnerable, but
yeah.
You know, Mike Pettine has gotten the edge on their defensive coordinator has gotten the edge on Matt Nagy every single time, going back to the very first game when Nagy threw new stuff at him, and the Bears scored a touchdown and a field goal on the first two drives, and then just got totally shut down and lost 24-23. And ever since then, they've really had Nagy's number. And so even that isn't really, you know, he's got to win that battle. I guess that's probably the theme. I've written that before, so I probably won't do it again, but Matt Nagy's got to win a battle against a defense coordinator, and him versus Mike Pettine is a really good battle. And if he can win that battle, then I think there's hope for him. But if he can't, I'd say there really isn't that much. So I think that's kind of the key factor of the whole game is really coaching.
When you look at Nagy from afar and then for you up close, what's the objectivity of looking at him saying, you know, this guy comes in, they do well, eventually team's not doing very well, and then the question mark about whether or not he should be calling offensive plays, who is the coach that should, and does it really matter at this point? Is this coaching staff good enough? How quickly is that going to come up, or is that going to be determined on how the Bears do over these last six games?
Well, I'm not sure how much of a difference play calling makes. It's, you know, that's one of those, changes you just kind of make just to change things up. And, you know, he's still calling plays that haven't worked before. So the sequencing might be a little bit different, and maybe that does make a difference if you, you know, when you run, when you pass, and that kind of thing. But I think in general, there's not a whole lot that Bill Lazor can do as a play caller. The issue, the big issue, it's the big picture issue with Matt Nagy, is that he's unproven as an offensive coordinator. He's a great head coach. He really has kept his team together, and that's keeping them together. That's giving them a chance. But what he was brought here to do, which is, you know, coordinate an offense that can actually lead the team, even with this defense, be the better part of the team, he has not done. He's only been effective when he was new to the league, and it just seems from my amateur viewpoint that once the league caught up to him, he just has not been able to adjust and respond, you know, just like a hitter or a pitcher in the big leagues, you know, I mean, same thing. And so I guess my point is he's unproven. We don't know. We don't know. It's not like he's done it once and then now he's trying to regain that. I mean, everything he did was that first year was when he was new, and now he's got to do it in a different kind of setting when the league knows him, and he hasn't been able to do it. So it's a difficult situation, frankly, because Nagy's been a really good head coach, and it's hard to give up on that because you need that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like I said before, he still hasn't done what he was brought here to do, and that's a
right.
problem.
How can you be a really great head coach if you aren't a good coordinator and functioning with your coaching staff in a way that people are doing better? I mean, I understand he's a good leader. Maybe leadership and a great leader or a great coach are two different things.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole Bears issue that they're going to have to kind of confront at the end of the season. Depending on how it goes. I mean, if they rally, then, you know, that's great, and it'll be fine. But if they don't and don't make the playoffs for a second year out of three under Nagy, you know, then you've got a decision to make. Is there hope? Then the question is personnel an issue? And you got the Ryan Pace question will certainly be asked if they don't make the playoffs too. So, mm-hmm. No, there's, you know, I'm not saying that you got to keep him just because he's a good CEO. I mean, that's unusual. That would be highly unusual. The reason you get a guy like Matt Nagy, theoretically, is so that you don't have to keep hiring another offensive coordinator every time your successful offensive coordinator becomes a head coach, kind of like like the Bears had with Vic Fangio, you know, when you leave. So the idea is you get a coordinator the Saints have and the Chiefs have, and you never lose him because he's your head coach. But they don't have that. So that's not that's probably not going to be the reason to keep him. But I'm just saying that is a factor. That is a huge thing. You see some of these dysfunctional teams in the NFL. And having a guy, you know, having a guy like Nagy as your head coach is enticing. There's no doubt about it. But you got to have the whole, like I think what you're pointing out, Blake, Bruce, is you got to have the whole package. And right now the Bears don't.
Right.
Talking to Mark Pattish of the Chicago Sun-Times, talking about the Chicago Bears, along with Bruce Levine. I'm Mark Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Potsy, you asked a question, and I want to make sure I get it right. It was something to the effect of the question to Matt Nagy. Of is it the quarterback's fault or is it the rest of the offense? I think it was something like that. How would you answer your own question? Like, would this offense be good if you brought in a quarterback that was better than Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky? Or is it about all the parts around the quarterback?
Well, I think it's a difficult question because we just don't know. What we do know is that neither quarterback has really pumped up this offense. So it's to me, both those quarterbacks are guys who are only good when they are in a good offense. So I think if I had to answer my own question, I would say I think it's the offense. I don't think it's the quarterback unless you can bring in Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that, then that guy can lift a team, can lift an offense on his shoulders and make it better than it is. But I think both these quarterbacks, Foles and Trubisky, are guys who historically have been good only when they're in a good offense. So they kind of define your offense. When Foles has a good offense, he's great, literally a Super Bowl MVP. When he's been in a bad offense in Jacksonville with the Rams, he hasn't been very good at all. So I think that kind of defines it for me, that it's an offensive problem. But then you got to go, is it a personnel issue? You know, I mean, does he not have enough to work with? Did the offensive line falling apart, did that cause him more problems than he shouldn't have had? So that's it too. But I guess to answer the question in a long-winded way, I apologize, I would say with these quarterbacks, it's the offense needs to make the quarterback more than the quarterback can make the offense. They're just not good enough to do that.
Mark Pattish from the Sun-Times joining us for just a few more minutes. That's Mark Grody and Bruce Levine doing the show today until 11, then the NFL, as we have Houston against the Detroit Lions starting at 11. Mark, the defense, you know, that's been the crown jewel of the Chicago Bears for eternity, and it has been over the last few years. Has that been lost in the translation here over the past 5 weeks with the, you know, the losses and the turnaround from the 5-1 start now to 5-5? Has that kind of been lost? And have they lost a little bit of their swagger because the rest of the team hasn't kept up to their end of the bargain?
No, actually, I think they've played better because they've had to. I think they've kind of stepped it up. They're nowhere near the bite they had 2 years ago when they had like 36 turnover takeaways or whatever. They're just not there, especially without Eddie Goldman. They just can't stop the run enough to put teams in situations where they can really go after people. So that, I don't think that's going to happen. But they are better than they were last year. I think they've met the standard. I think they've been even better. Than we thought, with the exception of just not getting enough takeaways. But no, I think they've done. I think the defense, I wouldn't say it's been overlooked. I think the theme of this whole thing, big picture wise, is that, you know, the Bears are wasting another great era of defense, mm-hmm. in Bears history. And you know, I've always said this kind of half jokingly, but now it becomes like 10% jokingly. By the time this offense comes around, Akeem Hicks is going to be 32, and Khalil Mack will be 31, and all of a sudden the defense is going to need help. And so the timing is always off with the Bears. They've never really had a good offense and a good defense at the same time, except maybe the Super Bowl years. The defense has been, I think, outstanding. Danny Trevathan had a slow start, but I think he's playing well. And Robert Quinn has been disappointing. But other than that, I think I wrote today in a story about Quinn, was that other than mm-hmm. that, every other facet of this defense has been as good as advertised or better, you know, from Fuller to Hicks to Mack. Roquan Smith, obviously, has been just fantastic. He's taken the next step. So the defense has been good, and it's just kind of tough that they're wasting another year. This has been like 5 years straight that the Bears have had a top 10 defense, and they're just not getting enough to show for it.
And I know Potsy will be in on the Zoom call today with the coordinators. They are at 10 o'clock, so we'll hear from the new play caller again, Bill Lazor, in that. I don't know, we haven't actually talked to Bill Lazor, have we, since he became the play caller? Because that day... Right? Yeah. So that'll be interesting. What do you want to know from him?
What did he learn?
Yeah.
What did he learn from that first one? Will it be any better? Can it be any better? Because, you know, their offense was not very good against the Vikings, and who knows how much the play caller had to do with that. But, you know, that was, you know, obviously not a great start. I guess that's it. We're grasping for straws at this point offensively for what the Bears are going to do, because if they don't get an offensive line play, if they don't get a run game, doesn't matter who's calling your plays. It's just not going to happen.
We do got to let you fly here in a second, but I can't let you go without asking you some other question outside of the Bears, just to keep in tune with our theme. When you and I talk, we talk about everything. So,
you know, you never learn, Mark, that you're hitting my weakness by throwing something. It's like Cap on his show when he turn around at me and say, "Sammy Sosa, Hall of Fame." And like, I'm like, you know, I'm like a deer in headlights because I just can't, I've not even thought about it. He's totally broadsided me, so blindsided me. So anyway, but fire away, and I'll do the best I can.
You hate this stuff. That you're so good at it, but you
I do
you
I
hate
do
you
I can't tell you how uncomfortable I am. But that's okay. It's football. Hey, we're talking football on Thanksgiving. How bad can that be?
That's hilarious. That I'll make it really easy. All right, what do you think Jed Hoyer will make some splashy moves for the Cubs in this offseason? What do you think about him taking over the Chicago Cubs?
You know, I don't know if he has to make splashy moves. How about drafting a pitcher? How about drafting somebody not in the top 10 and getting them to the big leagues? That's the Cubs' problem. That was the Cubs' problem under Theo. That's why they're in this situation, is because they're mm-hmm. still living off all these top 10 picks, international pool players that they got initially under Theo. They're great at finding elite talent. But how many guys have they had you know, David Bodie is like his sixth round pick, but I mean, he's not a starting player. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many pitchers have they drafted? So I'm not looking for a big splash. I'm looking for the Cubs to improve their scouting. I'm looking for them to improve their player development. Look at all these great players they brought up. Even those players all diminished in the last year, including Chris Bryant. I mean, Chris Bryant, I don't expect him to be an MVP player every year, but maybe in the top 10. Is that, for a guy of his caliber, is it too much to ask that? And even he is kind of diminished because of injuries, of course. But still, I guess my general complaint about what the Cubs have done, and obviously Theo is great. I mean, he deserves a statue for what he did. But what I'm saying is, if you're asking me about Jed Hoyer and where the Cubs go from here, I think they just need to draft pitchers and do better and develop their own talent better than they have. Without having a top 10 pick, because they're not going to have that anymore.
Yeah,
Bruce, I thought that was a great take, and like,
well, with the farm system, it's a statue of limitations, or is that a statute? I guess one or the other. But Mark, we certainly appreciate you joining us on the holiday. Best to you and your family, happy and healthy. Keep doing the great job in the Sun Times that you do. I look forward every time the Bears play after the games to look at your charting and your ratings of each area. It's a must for me. It has been for years. Keep up the great work, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Mark. You guys have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right, thanks, man. That is Mark Potash, the one and all, the tortured Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times.
I thought you were going to ask him about dating. I was real worried. Real worried about the old girlfriend, the new girlfriend, the old wife, as you put it. You did lay an old wife out there.
The old
dating-wise. Yeah.
Is it the old wife as an age, or the O-L-E, the old wife? Because O-L-E kind of
that's yours. You're going to have to define that. You'll have to define that.
Okay, yeah. O-L-E kind of connotes been around forever. The old chum, old is old. So, yeah, we can decipher that. If anybody wants to hear that hot radio, it happened in the 7 o'clock area. era of this particular program today, which you can find on radio.com. But always great to talk to Mark Potash, who's so good at doing radio, because he is as real as they get, but he hates doing it. He hates doing like the radio hit. He does them, but he hates it because it gives him anxiety. So that's why I love Mark Potash, and that's why we have him on. So when we return, let's get back into baseball. Jed Hoyer was on the score with Lawrence Holmes. It was a great conversation. It was fun hearing Hoyer at the big introductory gala on Zoom and all of that, but to hear him one-on-one with Lawrence Holmes was excellent. I want you guys to hear some of that coming up next. Along with Bruce Levine, I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Made a signing. Along with Bruce Levine, I'm Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's very interesting to see, because you start to read into the theories of Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley and even Billy Donovan. The Bulls have signed a former lottery pick, 2014 lottery pick, Noah Vonleh, forward center. He is 24 years old, I think? He is 24. He has been with Portland. He had a cup of coffee, actually, with the Bulls back in 2017-2018. Been with Minnesota and Denver. So Noah Vonleh, now a Chicago Bulls player. So the Bulls, if you're keeping track at home, they have signed Vonleh. They brought in the 34-year-old Garrett Temple. And they brought back Denzel Valentine. Am I missing anybody else, Jordan Mailey, Mr. Bulls, back in our Chicago studios?
No, the only guy that they brought back, too, on a two-way contract that Casey was talking about is Adam Makoka. I got some high expectations for him, and he's a young dude, too. But Noah Vonleh played at Indiana while I was there as a student, and he's got all the talent in the world, man. I'm excited if he can try to put it together here for a year with Chicago.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And yeah, he's just a guy whose potential, Brewster, has not been realized as of yet. So Man, we look at that, Bruce. We could have had another question for Casey Johnson. There it goes.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have one for Chuck Swirsky when he joins us at 10:30. At this point, I think we're gonna go to a great interview done by Lawrence Holmes on I believe it was it one Tuesday with Jed Hoyer, the new president of baseball operations for your Chicago Cubs. And Lawrence had some interesting questions and some thoughts and out-of-the-box questions for our friend Jed Hoyer.
I wanted to ask you about, like, the moment of it. I know that a lot of this you're going to defer to other parts of the organization, but I was hoping that we could get a little personal at the beginning of this because I wanted to know, for someone who gets into baseball ops, this is, like, the ultimate. This is a marquee franchise, no pun intended, that you get to head up and be in charge of. So for you, what did it mean when you put pen to paper and you got introduced to be the guy in charge of the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I try to deflect all those comments because ultimately the job, the goal is to do the job really well, not to get the job. I guess that's how I always look at it. You know, the getting of the job isn't the part that excites you. It's the doing it well. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, stepping back for a second and looking at it, you know, I've been here for 9 years. I've loved it. And the more I've gotten to know the city and the more I've gotten to know this ballpark and this fan base, and the more I looked around, it was clear to me, like, this is what I wanted to do. You know, that if I could be the president of baseball operations for any team, it would be the Cubs. And so I think that part for me is what's gratifying, is that, you know, sort of made a really concerted, you know, conscious decision to stay here. Right. It was like, that was a decision, right? If Theo was here, I could have left and gone to some other teams and done that. And, you know, for me and for my family, like, no, this is the best place to be. This is where we want to be. And so I think that's the part that feels really good, is that it was sort of a plan that came to fruition. 'Cause I'm thrilled. I mean, like I said, I love this place, and I don't believe that there's a better place to work in baseball.
It's so weird for me. I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, and to hear both you and Theo talk about the city the way that I talk about the city has been really cool to see. So what was the point where you think you kind of fell in love with the idea of staying in Chicago?
So I think part of it, part of why I like Chicago so much is where I came from. I loved, you know, living in Boston. I lived there for probably, like, I guess 12 years, and it was wonderful. And I just saw, I love the way that people interact with their sports teams. You know, that was a wonderful thing. And, you know, for me, being with the Red Sox and seeing the impact that the team could have on the city and the surrounding area. And that's something that's really powerful. And I felt that, you know, coming to Chicago and being here, that you get that sense of meaning and of community, you know, around the sports teams. And you don't get that everywhere. Yeah, I, to be candid, I loved living in San Diego. I didn't get that sense when I was with the Padres, that it was a nice thing to have in your community, but it wasn't sort of a vital key part of it. And I think that, you know, you come here and you realize that, you know, the Bears and the Blackhawks and the Bulls and the White Sox and Cubs, like, and a lot of the college, you know, teams too, like, it really has a significant part of people's life. And I think when you do these jobs, you know, listen, obviously there's a business component to it, but the most gratifying part of these jobs is seeing how it can, you know, for a month or even, you know, for years, change the way a city interacts, you know, and get people excited about a sports team. And that's the goal. And I think you see that in cities like Boston and Chicago. And I love that aspect of this city, and I love living here. The people are super nice and they've been welcoming. And so this has become home for us.
Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, joining me here on The Score. Jed, there's so many decisions that are ahead of you right now. And being that you've been here almost a decade with the Cubs, you're staring down the barrel of maybe breaking apart the thing that you built. So how do you compartmentalize that you built up this thing that's had incredible success, And now you're at the point where you might have to take pieces or major pieces away from it to build the next thing that you want to try and create.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I sort of break that down a little bit. You know, I look at it as, you know, we've kind of said openly for a while that, you know, realistically, we almost have too much talent long term to keep everyone. And we've said that, like, you know, realistically, everyone can't stay, you know, in 22 and beyond. And that's a reality that we've been facing. And so, you know, I think that, you know, as we think about the future, I think we have to, you know, we have to make some hard decisions knowing that reality. The puzzle is always different in this game. You're always trying to put together a different puzzle. But ultimately, I think the kind of the crux of this job is having really good information and making good decisions. And I think if you sort of stack one good decision on top of another, then you're going to end up really successful. So certainly, you know, there are moments of our timeline that I think we had sort of easier and simpler decisions. And we, you know, maybe our decisions now are more complicated, but I still think you sort of put the same thought into them. You look at them the same way. And if you stack, you know, one good decision on top of another, I think you end up in a very good place. You know, last few years I've been, I would say, I guess even this last year, I think we won the division. I think there's a lot to be proud of, and I'm very proud of a lot of things we did. But it ended with disappointment. And, you know, I do feel like, I think we have a lot of reasons for optimism. And then we also have some reasons that we need to, kind of keep one eye on the future to make sure that, this continues to be, you know, a great team going forward.
How hard is it for you because of the relationship? And I feel like it's one of the strengths that what you guys have built over the last decade has been this relationship that you guys have with the players. How hard is it to take the personal aspect out of it as you're trying to make sure that the business thrives?
You know, I think that's the nature of this job that, you know, I always want to get to know the players well. You want to, you know what makes them tick, and you want to know their families, and you know, you get to know their kids. And I think that's a part of the job I always want to have. So I don't think you can be a great organization without really caring about people and caring about them. But yeah, there's going to come a time where you have to make hard decisions that are always in the best interest of the Cubs. I think that's how you have to always look at all of this is, you know, I'm employed by Tom Ricketts, and our staff is employed by Tom Ricketts to make the best decisions for the Cubs, period. And so I think you have to kind of look at it, you know, through that lens. But yes, I don't ever want to get to a place in this game where I don't want to develop strong relationships with players. And because the personal part is what can separate, you know, a good from a great organization. And I think part of what has made us great here is I think we truly care about our players from the time they come to the organization, you know, throughout the major leagues. And we try to do everything for them and their families to feel comfortable. And you never want to lose that touch or that aspect of this job.
I don't need you to necessarily get specific, but I'm curious as an evaluator, what do you do with what you saw in 2020? Cause I don't even know if it's a representative sample enough to make big decisions.
So yeah, I think that's the question that I think every team or every person in baseball is dealing with, and I think it's a really fascinating challenge, right? Because like on the surface, it simply wasn't a big enough sample size to evaluate in so many different ways, and both on the positive side and the negative side. That, you know, what we played, what we're calling a season, was basically getting us to Memorial Day of a typical year, and clearly, you know, on Memorial Day, you're not even, you know, looking at what an all-star team looks like at that point. So that's the real challenge is trying to figure out what was real, what wasn't, you know, what struggles were just the nature of having a short season. I think there was a lot of mental challenges that came with playing a short season. I think there was players that got half or two thirds through the season and really, kind of went into a spiral because they realized their numbers were not going to be where they wanted. And you kind of heard that from all of our peers around the league too. Everyone's saying the same thing, that I think this was a really difficult season from a mental health standpoint on our guys. So Yeah, I think that's the challenge, is figuring out what to do with that season. And listen, it's in the books, right? Like, we, you know, we're going to put up a division title flag, you know, regardless of whether we played 60 games, and the Dodgers are going to rightfully, you know, put up a World Series flag. So we play the season, and that's in the books, and we can't deny that. But I do think how we view those numbers and how we evaluate them is that's a concerted, conscious decision. And I think we have to really be smart about how we do it.
That is the Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, with our guy Lawrence Holmes. Holmes is on weekdays, noon to 2, right here on The Score. A great interview by Holmes, as always. Things going on right now. The Bulls have signed a guy. They signed the forward, Noah Vonleh, to a one-year deal that, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he's a former Indiana guy. He's a former lottery pick. He's 24 years old. So, just kind of interesting to start to pick the brain of Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley to see what they're all about. And when we return, I got some White Sox questions for Bruce Levine. Bruce and I return after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Firing for three. No. Vonleh with it. He's fouled by Olenek again.
Olenek just jumping on the
looks,
bats.
Looks like a thrashing machine.
Oh, my goodness.
Inside. Vonleh in a lot of traffic and scored anyway.
Good catch. Give me a high percentage, too. And some free throws.
Absolutely. And Vonleh.
He told you to shut up. Because he can shoot that shot.
Only the Bulls keep us burning with desire.
Oh, yeah. Along with Bruce Levine, I'm Mark Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. There is breaking Bulls news. Breaking news on The Score.
Michael Jordan has come back to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Wow. MJ just sent Bruce a fax. So, I bet Jordan has. I'm positive, Bruce, that you have a fax machine in your estate.
I absolutely do. I do.
The breaking news is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. No, the Bulls have signed a former lottery pick, Noah Vonleh, played at Indiana, been around for a while now, Charlotte, Portland. The Bulls, as you just heard, Neil Funk, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Neil Funk and Bill Wennington calling the highlights of Noah Vonleh from the 2017-2018 season. I barely remember, man. Not going to lie to you.
That would be Stacey King, though, wouldn't it?
What did I say?
With Neil?
I said Bill Wennington, didn't I?
Yeah,
you did. That is unmistakably Stacey King. I'm thinking about Bill Wennington because we've got Chuck Swirsky coming up at 10:30.
Yes. You could
tell us more about, because he would have called the games on the radio back then. Vonleh played 21 games in the 2017-2018 season with the Chicago Bulls. He started 4 games. Not really much there in terms of the statistics, the proverbial cup of coffee, but, you know, 24 years old, former lottery winner, draft pick. And I'm just all over the board here. So he's one of those guys, like, who maybe that Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley identified and said, we still think that there is some kind of potential in this kid. But it's interesting to add him to the mix, Bruce.
I'm just taking a sip out of my lottery cup here before I respond to you.
I was, like, reading 8 different things while I was trying to talk.
And you were doing most of them very well.
Yeah, well, most of them.
You invented a new term, a lottery cup.
You know what that was? That was 20 seconds of radio hell.
But you still, you forged through it. The professional that you are, and you are Mark Grody, just pushed right through it. I mean, how many of us have been through those moments? I've been through, oh, I know what I'm going to ask. No, I don't. No. Those moments where you're next step to start asking a guest a question or responding to a question by a caller. We've all had those moments over the years. me more than most because I've been on since, you know, 1927. But the reality of those moments, that's what makes it fun, though, really. I mean, just identifying those, getting through it, and just coming back with the great radio that you always bring back, Mark.
We can't script this stuff, man. And that is the beauty of live radio. And when you're looking at three different things and thinking 10 different things, and then words are coming out of your mouth, sometimes it will come out like that. Hey, Bruce, let me ask you, since we've been asking all of our guests about this, I know you're not a big meat eater. So what is Thanksgiving meals for you and yours like, Mr. Levine?
Well, like many families, we are not getting together for Thanksgiving for safety reasons and for example reasons to each other, not to anyone else, but, you know, setting an example, restraining from doing what you want to do during these tough times. I think we're trying to set examples for each other in our family and friends that we normally get together with by not getting together and, you know, probably doing some Zoom get-togethers and some phone calls, telling everybody how much we care for them and love them and want them to be safe. So I think that is really what the essence of Thanksgiving and this holiday season is for everybody in our family. And I'm not telling anyone else how to run their life, but, you know, we all want to be safe and we all want to be successfully happy and carrying on after this holiday season as well.
You are precious. I mean, I have goosebumps right now from the example that you just set on a 50,000 watt radio station, Bruce. That was deluxe. I am glad that you are playing it safe, my friend.
Right, and it's hard to do. It's difficult for everybody, but you know, we have the Score, we have the sports that are there to help us get through all this, and we have each other, so let's do it. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk some White Sox in our next segment. Tony La Russa is still out there with the idea of his situation and what that's going to mean. Will the White Sox add a big pitcher to go along with their fine young pitching staff that they have you know, assembled going toward next year? All that and you at 312-644-6767. You can text Mark at that same number. He will answer everything that is viable. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.